was Bill Weir taught me many, many years ago. I walked in on Easter morning and said, "He is risen." And I replied, "He is risen indeed." And this morning we celebrate probably the most important event in the history of the world, actually. You can look at various things from time immemorial till the present. Where could you find anything as important as the birth and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? And although people today are trying to take him out of our society, they're saying it's not that important, etc. Oh, there we are. It has arrived. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Our calendar is set by this date. Our years are set by this date. Most of the Western world does this. And even now, they're trying to change that, where we would have the year, say, 500 B.C. before Christ. Now they're trying to say, well, it's B.C.E., before the Common Era, whatever that means. And instead of A.D. and the year of our Lord, I think it's C.E., Common Era. They're trying to take him out of the world as if he never existed. But don't believe it. He is here. And I think that perhaps they're thinking that they can do this because he's died, he's gone. He's not gone, he's not dead, he's alive, and he's with us today. And I want to start with some scriptures. You may be surprised where I'm starting today. Not normally what you would see, but I'm always talking at school when I talk to the staff, and I often talk about God's plan, and I often say to students, you know, are you looking for God's plan in your life? Because there is one. God does have a plan for our lives. Okay? I can remember back when I was in university how I was going to go into industry and make millions of dollars a year, and then I worked at Chrysler for 4 years. They hadn't made me president yet. Come on! What was wrong with those people? And but that wasn't to be the path that I was to follow. And through a series of circumstances, I got into education. And it's interesting as you get older and you can look back and you can see, oh, yeah, God sort of nudged me here and he nudged me there. And sometimes, you know, I like to say sometimes God taps you on the shoulder. Sometimes he hits you with a sledgehammer. And I've had both. I preferred the nudging, but those other events happen in your life. So, he has a plan for all of us. And what I'm going to talk today is about God's plan. And God showed his plan to the Jewish nation 3,500 years ago, and he laid it out in the book of Leviticus. But he laid it out in such a way as they didn't really recognize it. So, if you have your Bibles here, if you want to take a look, in Leviticus, that's easy to find. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You know, we all sing that song. In Leviticus, the Lord lays out the seven feasts of the Lord. There are other Jewish feasts, but these seven feasts are the feasts that were set by God for the Jewish people. The first of these, the Feast of the Passover. Now, this morning, we got together. We remember the death of our Lord. We break bread. We have bread and wine, as millions of people around the world do on Sundays to commemorate the death of our Lord. Where does that come from? It comes from the Passover dinner. Jesus was the first who broke that bread and passed that wine around. It was in the Passover dinner, the Feast of the Passover. So I want to just look through these feasts just fairly quickly in Leviticus, but just to get you to some of the names. Now, some of the names there are Hebrew names, and there are some names that are more easily spoken in English. I have to tell you, I have a trouble with pronunciation of Hebrew words. And those languages from the East, I have a terrible problem. I had a very good friend a number of years ago an Orthodox Jew in Toronto, and he gave me a Jewish name, Chaim. And I tried hundreds of times then, and I could try again today. I don't pronounce it correctly. It's like Chaim, but I can't do that. You know, I can't get that out. I don't know. You got to a little bit. It just doesn't sound good coming from me. So I'm going to sort of maybe stick with these. First is the Passover. And in the Passover, of course, the Passover is that feast that celebrates the passing over of the Jewish homes in Egypt, and it was the last plague put upon the Egyptians so that they would free the Israelis from bondage. And that is so significant today to us, it should be to us, because what the plague was that the eldest child in every home would be killed, the eldest male, I think it was, would be killed unless you sacrificed a lamb and you spread that blood over your doorposts. So the Israelis back all those years ago, they were saved by the blood of the lamb. And we are saved today by the blood of the lamb. So the Passover feast starts it all. And then some people think of Passover as being a long Jewish holiday. Actually, the Passover is only one day. And the next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If we look here, we'll see in verse 5. On the chapter 23, I'm sorry. Chapter 23, verse 5. On the 14th day of the Lord, at the first month, which is Nisan, which I'm most likely pronouncing it correctly, N-I-S-A-N, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. That's the Passover feast, on the 14th of Nisan. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is on the 15th, the very next day. This one lasts 7 days, when you're not to eat any unleavened bread. And then if you go over to verse 9, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And that is to be on the 16th day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then going to verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Well, 7 Sabbaths is one every week, 49 days. Count 50 days after the Sabbath, and there is the Feast of Weeks. So those are the first 4 feasts. The Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first of the first fruits, day 1, 2, 3, and then 50 days later, the Feast of Weeks. That's the first 4 of those 7 feasts. Those 4 feasts are historical feasts, because what these 4 feasts do, they cover the life of the Lord Jesus when he was on earth for those periods of time. And I'd like to make those comparisons for you. The next 3 feasts, and remember the Lord gave 7, there are others, but he gave 7. There's the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Trumpets, on that day, the Lord is going to return to the earth. What does it say? At the sound of a trumpet, the Lord will be back. So the next 3 feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, those 3 are prophetic feasts. And they talk about the future, and they talk about the coming of the Lord a second time. Now, one of the things that's sort of strange with things, and I've always wondered about this, but since I was doing this talk, I've got this all straightened out in my mind now. Why does Easter Sunday keep changing? Well, Easter Sunday keeps changing because where it falls in the year is because it is kept with the Passover, as it should be. Okay, because the Lord was crucified on the weekend or the day before the Passover, and they wanted to make sure he was dead before the sun went down. So if we look a little bit about Jewish time, and Jewish time is, you think time is time, but time is calculated differently in different cultures. For us, when does the day start? Like, when did Easter Sunday start? If I were to say to you, when is it Sunday? 1 second after midnight, then it's Sunday. Well, not so with the Jewish people. The day started when the sun went down. Now, that could be different times. And you might think, well, that's kind of confusing, because I know, for example, if you're down south, the sun sets later than it does here. Okay, in the wintertime, I know, because normally in the winter I'm down there where it's warm, and you know, you get an extra about almost an hour some days of sun, because the sun goes down later and comes up earlier. So you might say, well, that's kind of strange that, you know, this day would end at, say, 6:30, but here the day ends at 6 o'clock. But when you think about it, because I have my sons, one who lived in Asia for a number of years, and so he was doing Happy New Year hours, 10 or 12 hours before I was. He was having Happy New Year and celebrating the new year coming in, where I was sitting down for lunch on the 31st, waiting for that time to come. And we have different calendars. Now, in the Jewish calendar right now, this is the year 5,774. And from what I can see, the Jewish calendar is dated from creation, 5,774 years ago. That year ends this year on September 25th. And then after September 25th, it will be 5775. Now, their years were calculated differently because the Jewish calendar was strictly a lunar calendar. It went on the basis of how when a new moon started. They always watched for the new moon. When the new moon started, that was the first day of the next month. So their year would be roughly 354 days long, whereas we are on a solar calendar and ours is 365 days long. So what they did after a period of time is they got, this caused a problem, because the Passover and the first fruits, they were spring feasts, but if you just kept that calendar, if you went with a lunar calendar, well, the weather doesn't read calendars, it just is what it is, and it's really based on the rotation around the sun, so your spring feast would be in the summer. So they have a totally different schedule for years. So we sort of work on a four-year cycle. We have 4 years of 365 days and one leap year. In the Jewish calendar, it's a 19-year cycle. And 19 years, and 7 of those 19 years, there are leap months. And of course, they can't make it easy. They take 1 month of 30 days, and they cut it down to 39. It's a month of Adar. And then they have a second Adar, and it's 30 days. Now, why didn't they just make the second one 29 days? I don't know. Okay, so, and they do that 7 times in a 19-year period. So I was sitting up, I got up early this morning, and I was actually working through the math to try to figure this out, and I gave up. But it does come pretty close. Okay, so we are following Passover. The date changes because of the Jewish calendar. Okay, it's always the same date on the Jewish calendar, but that date, excuse me, changes in our calendar. Okay, then I got wondering, as I do, we celebrate Christmas Day on the 25th of December on our calendar, and yet Easter Sunday is done on the Jewish calendar. They're different. And really, I think perhaps, you know, that's showing us how much more important Easter is than Christmas. And Christmas is sort of a more, it's becoming more and more of a human thing. We like to celebrate birthdays. We just celebrated one at our house the other day. And we like to do that. But Easter is different, because we're not celebrating a birthday. And actually, we're celebrating two things. We are celebrating that Jesus died for us and that he rose again. And we're celebrating that Jesus is alive and back with us. And all of this just can confuse because of this. But I wanted to tell you how these went. Okay, so 3,500 years ago, going back to that, God laid out the plans for the first and second coming of Jesus. The first four spring feasts, they're historical. The next three are prophetical. The first feasts are the beginning. The last ones are the consummation. So let's look at the first one, the Passover. And there are many, many traditions based on the Passover. And I go to a Bible study when I'm in Florida. It's done by a person who he's a Jewish Christian, but he lived in a Jewish home for many years until his mother was saved, and then the rest of his family got saved in later years. And there are certain things that go on a plate, and there are all sorts of things that are carried down throughout the years that are done for the Passover dinner. And you can most likely study that and talk about that for hours, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to look at one little part of it. And once again, this is a Greek word now, and my Greek pronunciation is no better than my Hebrew pronunciation. There is something called the Afikomen, A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N. And let me explain to you what this is. Near the beginning of the meal, the leader, who would be the oldest male in the household, he has three pieces of matzah, unleavened bread, because they're supposed to eat unleavened bread at this time, and he has them in a linen package. There are three. The middle piece is taken out and is broken in half. Part of it goes back in the bag. The other half is taken out and it's carefully wrapped in a linen napkin and it's hidden away in the house while the children hide to see what that is about. And then after the meal, the children are sent out to find this broken piece, and whoever finds it gets a reward, most likely money of some sort. And after it is found, a small piece of this is broken off as eaten by everyone present at the meal as a reminder of the Passover lamb. Now, when Jesus was celebrating the Passover, this was not part of the Passover because the temple still existed. And so they could sacrifice lambs at the temple and they could have lamb in their Passover meal. But after the temple was destroyed, they could not. So this piece of matzah was to represent the lamb. Now, the question became, why are there three pieces? Okay, so there are a couple of traditions about that. The three pieces saying it's the three groups in Jewish society: the priests, the Levites, and the Israelites. Or I've lost my note here. Okay. The three patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if you take the middle one out and break it, well, why would you break the Levites and not break the priests or the Israelites? Or why would you break Isaac and not Abraham and Jacob? Okay. I think the three pieces of matzah show the triune God: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The middle one is the Son. He was broken. The piece of matzah is broken. He died. He was crucified and died. Wrapped and hidden away. He was buried. And after they have their third cup of wine, which is called the cup of redemption, they go out and they find him, and he's resurrected on the third day. Now, this word, afikomen, is in the whole Passover tradition, is the only Greek word. And like many of those words, and once again, my Greek is not my thing, But if you translate it as a verb and not as a noun, it comes out, it means, I came. I came. So Jesus is telling these people every Passover meal they've had, and there were, you know, I'm sure all sorts of them all over the city here today, and of course all over Israel, etc. And they're coming in, and they're taking this piece of bread that they translated, I came. The Lord is telling them, I was here, and I was broken. And they're breaking that up and eating part of it, just as Jesus asked his disciples to do all those thousands of years ago. Now, the next feast after the Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And leaven represents sin in Scripture. If you remember, there's that quotation, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread shows that Jesus' body did not corrupt in the grave. Okay? Leaven did not corrupt him. He was not corrupted, and he was without sin. He was in that grave, but his body did not corrupt. The next day, the Feast of First Fruits. This shows his resurrection from the grave. And it's really hard to say the Feast of First Fruits several times. I want you to know that. The Feast of First Fruits, you were to go to your wheat fields, and just when the wheat is starting to come up, you take one and it goes to the temple, and there are certain things done, because what you are trying to do, you're offering it to God to assure you that the rest of the crop is going to rise up for the harvest. In the resurrection, Jesus rose from that grave, and we can be assured that his church is going to follow him and will be risen also. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, this one I looked up, is Shavuot, Shavuot. So I'm going to call it Pentecost. 50 days. Jesus stayed and preached to his disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. But he told them, wait together, and he was going to send them the Comforter. The Holy Spirit was going to come to them. And they waited, and they were meeting together for the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. The 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover, the disciples were together, and there, that house was filled with the Holy Spirit. As we can see, let's take a look at Acts 2, verses 1 and 2. Could just for a moment. If you want me to sing again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So on that 50th day, the Feast of the Pentecost, the final thing in the historical grouping of these feasts, the Holy Spirit was sent into the world. Very powerful. Peter preached on that day, and 3,000 people were added to the church. 3,000 people. So, there's no question in my mind, and I hope there's none in yours, that Jesus is the Passover Lamb. He is the Passover Lamb. But more importantly, is he your Passover Lamb? And you know, I was thinking earlier today, Easter Sunday, April the 20th, 2014. What better day is there, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, what better day is there than today to accept Him and to accept what He has done for you? And even for those of us who are saved, and I know there's many in this room, what better day is there to rededicate yourself to the Lord? We all have shortcomings. I have a long list of shortcomings. And I know I should spend more time in His Word. I know I should be doing a lot more things that I don't do. I should be more patient with other people who drive too slowly in front of me. But I'm not. But His sacrifice is my hope of heaven. But if you have not accepted Him, what is your hope when you die? Do you know, if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven? I know. Do you? If you don't, this could be that day. April the 20th, Easter Sunday, 2014. Or 5774, if you prefer. Okay? When the Israelis were about to leave Egypt, each person had to individually apply the blood to his door. They did it themselves. Someone didn't go around and paint this blood on everybody's door. You have to do your own. So today, you as an individual, you must make a decision concerning the Lamb of God. You have to decide, will I take Him? I always remember, it always stuck in my mind from many years ago. I heard one of Billy Graham's daughters speak. And she said, I always thought, you know, my dad's saved, so I'm fine. And she said, but now I realize, God has no grandchildren. God only has children. If your parents were saved, it does not mean you are. If you're saved, it doesn't mean your children are. That's a decision that each of us has to make as an individual. This would be a good day to make that decision. It's not a popular one in today's society. It's not popular to be a Christian. And actually, I think it's even going to be less popular as time goes on. You just have to read the Bible. We can see bad times are coming. Okay? But to know within your heart that whatever happens to you, the Lord will take care of you. It's a good place to be. And I would really like to welcome you to be there. Well, let's close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we come here to You today on Easter Sunday, the day when we remember the resurrection of Your Son. But more importantly, Father, as we do each Sunday, we remember His death. And this death that was done for us, that was done for our sins, so that we one day will be with You in heaven. We thank You for this beautiful day that we have today to celebrate this. We thank You even more for that gift that You, Father, gave to us. We can look back thousands of years, and we know that You sent Your Son here to save us. When they said, You can come down from that cross, yes, He could have, Father, but He knew that He was there for us, and that was why He stayed. He stayed there because of our sins. He suffered because of us. And we can all say, and He suffered because of me. We thank You, Father, that He did stay there for us, as difficult as that must have been. And we praise Him that He is still alive today, our intercessor with You in heaven. We pray, Father, for some here who may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray, Father, that today could be the day that they could say, yes, I know you died for me. I know I'm a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. So, Father, we put the rest of this day in your hands. Pray for safe travel as we go about our daily business today. It's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.